Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now,
much appreciated. Thank you.
That's great.
Of course.
I'm Marty.
Hey, Marty.
This voice is Marty. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
It's nice to talk to you, Pat. Thank you so much for doing this. Thanks a lot.
Of course. Of course.
So, well, to start, Pat, I have to say there's congratulations on, I guess, in a couple different areas. First of all, on the new album, Dropout Boogie, coming out May 13th. And also congratulations to both you and your wife, Michelle, on the birth of your daughter just a few weeks ago, right?
5 weeks ago. 5 weeks ago. And thank you. Her name's Willie. I named her after my grandmother, whose name was Willie. Not short for anything, just Willie.
How's sleep going? Are you sleeping?
You know, Michelle's taking the brunt of that. I get to I get my sleep. I have to wake up with our toddler. But I'm loving every minute of it, honestly. So it's all good. Even when it's frustrating, it's worth it. You know, it's so different. It's like not that much different than being in a band. You know, it's like all the amount of frustrating things that come with it, like waiting around for hours and days and sitting in a van. It's all worth it in the end.
Well, it should be an interesting summer, right? With you touring. And isn't Michelle going out on the road as well?
Michelle has a new record coming out this fall, and she'll be doing some shows. Yeah. I don't know how we're going to really do it, but clearly we're fortunate enough to, you know, be able to have some help. We try not to use that much of that. You know, we do a lot of the parenting ourselves, but on the road it's impossible. So I don't really know. We'll figure it out as we go.
That's the way to do it. I didn't have a chance to talk with you when Delta Cream was released last year. And I just want to touch on that for a minute or two, but that must have been so much fun going into the studio and playing those songs from Junior Kimbrough and the R.L. Burnside songs that, you know, really are in the DNA of the Black Keys, and to be able to play those with guys and other musicians who, you know, were on those records originally. That must have been a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, you know, it was like a last minute kind of session. Dan was doing this record for an artist of his, it's on his label called, his name is Robert Finley. And Dan decided to have Kenny Brown, who's a slide guitar player who played with R.L. Burnside and Junior Kimbrough. He decided to ask Kenny to come up and play on that album, along with a bass player named Eric Deaton, who played a lot with those guys as well. So they finished that record pretty quickly, and Dan asked if I wanted to come down to the studio and just jam some of those songs, because that's like the original music that kind of Dan and I bonded over. It was like Junior Kimbrough and R.L. Burnside. And I showed up on a Thursday morning, and by Friday evening, we recorded like 11 songs. And then that was right before Christmas of 2019. And, you know, the pandemic happened, and a couple months later we went and listened back to the tapes and realized that, you know, this would be something that we should put out. So it was cool. And actually, you know, I think like Dan and I were talking just the other day, the other evening, and we were ranking what records of ours we liked the most, which we had never done. And we were like Delta Cream, Brothers, The Big Come Up, and Dropout Boogie. Those are our four favorite records. We agreed on that. And it's kind of crazy because this new record, we kind of got in this habit of releasing records in May. And every time we release a record in May, it does really well. So we decided to put this one out right the day before Dan's birthday, because that's the Friday the 13th of May. And it's one day shy of the 20th anniversary of our first record.
Wow. That planning works out really well. That's great.
Yeah, especially if you have like mild Asperger's like I do. It's like really good.
Did anything the experience of the sessions for Delta Cream seep into this new record at all, or was it there was a distance between the two?
I think that absolutely. Making Delta Cream definitely was like us hitting the reset button. You know, we've been through a bunch of stuff together, being in this band for two decades, and there was a period of time around 2015 to 2017 where we really just didn't even, for half of 2015 and all of 2016 and 17, we saw each other one time or two times. Mm. And, you know, we made a record, Let's Rock, in 2018. And it was kind of us back in the studio for the first time in 5 years, kind of figuring out, like, getting back in it. And the making of that record and the touring, like, we really bonded again. And and then I think making Delta Cream, like, it just kind of, it was so effortless and enjoyable that I think it proved us that, it reminded us that this band, that's ultimately what the band needs to be for us, is like you know, a place that we can be creative and really enjoy it, and we've been doing that. This new album, I think we definitely took a cue from that experience. And I think I've never had more fun making a record than when making this new one. And I, you know, it was like, it was also after a year and a half of basically isolation from COVID, like getting back in the studio, getting around other people and having fun and cracking jokes. And I'm really proud of it, you know, but we both did get COVID, of course, making the record, but you'll have that.
You also got to work with some musicians you hadn't worked with in the past. A lot of collaborations on this record, it looks like.
Yeah, well, we collaborated with two people. Well, three. The main one is Billy Gibbons. Stopped by the studio in June. We worked on this record basically for 2 weeks out of each month for the summer of 2021. And one of those summer nights, Billy Gibbons was in town, and he's rolled through to Dan's Easy Eye Studios and just to hang out. And we decided to jam. And Dan has Fred McDowell's Trini Lopez electric guitar. And I was showing it to Billy, and he plugged it in, and we sat down. And it was funny because, like, it's a complete different style of guitar that he usually plays, and instantly it sounded exactly just like ZZ Top. We recorded like an hour long jam, and 4 minutes of that jam, we cut out 4 minutes of this one section and later shaped that kind of into a song. But the jam itself, the guitars and drums were, you know, improvised and just kind of verbatim what we played. We just laid some bass on it and some percussion and stuff. And that song's called Good Love. And then, for the first time, like, we've written songs like with Danger Mouse, but other than that, we've never collaborated in the studio. And this time, we had a couple songs that we knew were really good, but we were just having trouble kind of figuring out different like lyrical approaches. And one of those songs was Wild Child, the first single, and so we called our buddy Greg Cartwright, who's, you know, pretty legendary garage rock and roll musician from Memphis, who now resides partially in Asheville, North Carolina. We had him come to the studio and write with us for like 2 days. And three of the songs on the record are ones that he helped us with. We had the music kind of figured out, but he stepped in and helped point us in the right direction. It's kind of funny because Dan and I spend a lot of time ourselves writing with other artists and producing other artists, but we've never done it like the reverse version of having someone come help us like just kind of wrap our heads around something. And it was really fun. You know, I guess. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I love his band, Raining Sound.
Raining Sound. Oblivion.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, man. And then another buddy of ours is a musician in town that goes by the name Angelo. And he's written tons of songs. And he kind of like, he didn't produce the first couple of Kings of Leon records, but he wrote all the songs with them. And he's a buddy of ours. And we had him come. And he worked on two songs on this record with us. One of those was Wild Child as well.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Wild Child. I really like the fact that you pretty much kick it off with the tom-toms, and then you end the song the same way. You're a big part of that song. Yeah, it's cool. Tell us about that song, because it has such a cool sound.
You know, it was something that, like, the way we make music is usually 99% of the time it's us sitting in the room together, jamming. I'll be on the drums, obviously, Dan on the guitar. This song, it started with, I think, actually, I made a little drum loop, and Dan and I were sitting around talking about, like, just basically talking about all the music that we liked when we were kids and what elements it had that were fun. And that was kind of the idea, was like to make something that felt like that to us. Like, it felt like a fun, big kind of song, and making the music to it wasn't difficult. It was filling in, like, figuring out how to approach the verses, and that's where something where Greg Cartwright came in, like, really was like, oh, okay, we could write about this, and instantly we knocked it out with him. And but it was, you know, all the songs, we kind of started them in June, and we would just go back in the studio in July and August and pull up the songs and start working on them. And Wild Child was a song we pulled up, like, probably every day, and just added one little thing and then closed up. We were pretty kind of meticulous with it, but I think it's one of our shortest songs. It was almost even shorter, but I think, I hope people like it. You know, you never know.
Yeah.
I sent it to my dad, and he's like, he likes the least poppy song on the record or something. So it's what it is.
It does have kind of an abrupt ending. You know, I was thinking, like, man, this should go on for like another 4 or 5 minutes. Because I was digging the groove so much, but,
we figured, like, can do what we used to do when we were kids, when the song would be over, and just rewind the tape.
So the title of the album, Dropout Boogie, any inspiration from Captain Beefheart there?
Yeah, there's always inspiration from Beefheart. On the Beefheart record, Save His Milk, which is like, other than Junior Kimbrough and Arnold Burnside, that record's the one that really was like, one that Dan and I first kind of bonded over. Like, he was like the only kid in the neighborhood that was listening to that kind of music, and that was a record that we both liked. And so, of course, you know, we were sitting around talking about high school while we were making this record, and just like how insane, like, our high school experience was versus how, like, my stepdaughter's experience and Dan's daughter's experience, like, just how completely insane our high school was. We were telling stories, and we kind of had this kind of whole idea of, like, making a video that was kind of based on, like, the contemporary high school experience, but filtered through our own kind of version of it. And we were like, well, we're too old to be in a video that takes place in high school. And we clearly, you know, we can't be the teachers. That's too obvious. So I was like, well, I guess in this video, I'll be like the, I can be the lunch man, and Dan could be the janitor. So we had our friend Jim Harrington come over. We got all the kind of accoutrement to dress up as these characters, and we had him take our picture, and we were like, man, that should just be the fucking record cover. And so, you know, we're both fucking college dropouts. So we're just like, we were inspired to just go with it.
Well, it works. It works. And the album is coming out May 13th, the 11th studio album from the Black Keys. And then you hit the road like right away. You're coming here to Chicago in July, playing with Band of Horses. Big fans of Band of Horses too. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been listening to that band since their first record came out. And before that, there was a band that Ben was in called Course is Weird that I used to listen to as well.
Yeah. Well, congrats on the record. Really looking forward to hearing the rest of it. Love Wild Child and you know, all the best. But before I let you go, I have one more question for you. And I know you're a baseball fan.
Yeah.
And I know you're a Cleveland American League Baseball Club fan. Guardians, yay or nay? Name.
I'll take it. The weird thing is like living in Cleveland or Akron, you know, going to get, I mean, no one's ever talking about the Guardians on the Bridge. I literally never heard of it until like they named the team after that. So it's not like some thing that, you know, but the last thing I want is like a controversial sports team name, because like, there's enough things to have to defend already being a Cleveland sports fan, that the last thing you have to like worry about the name, like, but
well, if they ever get the season together, the team will protect the entire city of Cleveland. How's that?
Well, someone said like it's the perfect name for Cleveland because they do guard all the rookies until their rookie contract is up. They guard all the good players until they get sucked away to the Dodgers and shit.
Oh, all those pitchers, all those pitchers.
Well, thanks, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
I have to say, thanks for always supporting the band. And I have to say also, you know, I was at Game 7 of the World Series, and I watched the Cubs beat my team, and I was completely fine with it because I was sitting right behind Bill Murray, and I got to watch Bill Murray watch his team win the World Series, and that was kind of the most incredible experience. So there you go.
Well, that's cool. Patrick, thanks a lot for talking to us, man. We'll see you this summer, okay?
Okay, man. Thanks.
Bye-bye.